As far as your traveling growing up, you were born in South Carolina, you spent some time in Mississippi and Tennessee. How did that play a role in your musical experience?
You know, I think in the South especially, you know, there's just such a distinct Mississippi with the Delta and, you know, south of Memphis, which is sort of the birthplace of blues. You know, music is just such a big deal for that state. So being there, you know, it's kind of like you can't escape it. It's sort of in the ground. And so I think for me, my parents both are huge music fans. My dad, especially when he did anything around the house, had music playing, you know. And so if that was Motown or if that was Doobie Brothers or Steely Dan or, you know, it was kind of something was always sort of playing in the background. And so I think for me, you know, he sort of inherited it from his childhood there. And he grew up in Clarksdale, which is where the crossroads, you know, from Robert Johnson whole thing is. So, you know, so it just sort of got passed on. You know, it's like, I don't even know that he meant to, but that's what happened, you know.
Okay, so growing up, you were playing the drums. How did that happen, and how did you really decide to switch over to the guitar?
You know, it's funny. I don't know. I mean, this sounds like a really bizarre sort of ethereal answer, but I don't know that I ever chose to, in the sense that, you know, I just found myself, like, the drums, I started to study them in school, and as I studied, my passion for it really swamped. And you would think that if it was something that was supposed to be, it would have gotten more and more, you know, intense. So as that sort of waned, you know, my roommate had a guitar, and I sort of picked up the guitar and started playing that more. And then it sort of turned into this different thing. It was like, wow, this songwriting thing is really cool, and I guess I should sing songs because I'm playing them. And then from there, it turned into me playing live shows. It's just kind of a weird natural progression. So it never really felt like I was choosing not to do drums as much. I was choosing to start playing and singing, you know.
Okay, I've read in a bunch of places that it said that you were kind of originally hesitant to sing your own stuff. Any reason why?
Well, because I just had never sung. You know, I'd never, ever done that. So for me, it really felt bizarre. I mean, you know, I think it was very akin to sort of Phil Collins' experience where the guys in the band were like, man, you should just sing these songs. And then it was like, because I did the same thing. I had my best friend was singing all the songs. He had a great voice. And then eventually one day he was kind of like, man, I really think you should sing. There was one song that I'd written in particular, and he was like, man, I really think you should sing this. You sound great singing it. So I fought him as best I could. And then finally he was like, I'm not singing the song. You have to. So at that point I was like, well, I should hold myself up in a room and stuck towels at the bottom so absolutely no sound could get through. You know, it was a pretty hysterical experience. But it really gave me confidence to kind of be like, man, you know, he's a good buddy, and he had a really good ear, and so I sort of trusted him, and you know, the rest is sort of history.
Okay. As far as your songwriting style goes, I mean, it's very eclectic, it's very different. Like, perfect example, the song Until You, I mean, that has to be, as far as I'm concerned, one of the mushiest love songs I've ever heard, ever. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's a song that if a woman hears it, and there's a man nearby, it doesn't matter what that guy looks like, she'll fall in love with him. You know, it's one of those songs.
That's the goal. That's the goal.
How did that come about? How did you write that song? What was the inspiration behind that song?
Well, the inspiration is funny. There was a guy that was, two brothers who were dear friends of mine that ended up moving out to California. And after they had moved there, they just sent me a picture through email of just them and just said, hey, we're here, we're safe, thinking of you guys. But in the picture, he was sitting next to this girl that he was about to start dating. They had just met, you know, the whole thing was just kind of getting started. So it was just really obvious there was something about that chemistry, and you know, it was just a picture somebody took on like a cell phone, but there was something about it that was like, man, these guys are out there, they're pursuing this dream, and meanwhile, he's fallen in love, because by the time he sent this, they had started dating and really fallen head over heels. And so it was just one of those weird kind of like, man, that is really cool that he left Nashville in this place he was really familiar with, and, to, you know, to move to L.A. and while he was looking for one thing, he found another. So the time I was single when I wrote it, it's funny, though, because as I fell in love a couple years after writing that with my wife, you know, it suddenly became this different thing for me. And the other thing that was really kind of funny about it is when I wrote it, I didn't. In fact, when we were going to put it on the record, on my very first record, my first full length, the producer was like, you know, he's like, man, do you have any more songs? So I played him that song, and he was like, oh my gosh, we have to cut this. And I was like, man, I just don't know. It's so poppy, and I don't know if that's what I want to do. And he was like, well, we're cutting it, whether you like it or not. And I'm glad we did, but it that's kind of where my head was with that song, especially, because I thought, man, it's just so, like, it's so top 40, and I just don't know if that's what I want to do, but I'm glad that I did, you know, that he didn't listen to me.
Yeah. A lot of the people that I've spoken to over the last couple of days about you, they're really familiar with that song, but, I mean, can you just describe the rest of your style, like, how else you try to attack, like, music?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of what I try to aspire to in my writing is in that sort of, is really that, you know, 60s, 70s writing where, you know, artists could put records out that were really, really, really eclectic, and everybody thought it was okay because the songs were good, and that's not saying that I think my songs are amazing as some of those, like, classic songs, but that's sort of the bar that I sort of set for myself. Is, you know, I think it's, you know, you look at everywhere from Elton John to Billy Joel to, you know, like Paul Simon and all these great songwriters, like their records were so, you know, eclectic. Like, they have, you know, some of the weirdest, you know, songs up against their biggest hit against another, you know, solo piano song. And it was just really, but they got away with it because I think the palette for that was okay then. Plus, not to mention, they were just great songs. So I think for me, it is eclectic. I mean, I think the one thing that ties all together is it is, you know, my voice is kind of, I think, interesting, or I don't know. I always feel weird talking about my own voice, but you know what I mean?
It's sort of different, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's not, it sort of works in all the different things, I hope. You know, that's what I'm at least trying. And so, hopefully that ties all together, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that you mentioned those guys, because when I was listening to Until You and a couple of the other tracks, I automatically thought of, like, you know, like a Billy Joel track, like You're My Home, or like Elton John, Cat Stevens, Paul Simon.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that. Is that what you were kind of, you know, raised on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, those are exact examples, you know, kind of everywhere.
Okay. As far as, like, when you're writing a song, I mean, because I was looking through a lot of your lyrics, and it feels like poetry. Is that kind of what you're going for? Like, that kind of, like, a flow?
Like, yeah, more than anything, I'm hoping that they stand up on their own.
Yeah.
You know, I think, I really love singer-songwriters who, when you read their lyrics, you know, you can peel it away from the music and it still works. It's not, you know, so I think some music, it's great that it's dependent on the music, you know, for it to really make sense. But, you know, I've always thought, man, I'd love it if somebody could print these lyrics out and still really, like, get something from it without even having heard the music, you know.
What's, like, the weirdest situation you've ever gotten in? Considering, you know, your lyrics are so, you know, inspirational and they're touching, has anyone ever, like, sent you an email and just said, like, wow, this song has changed my life? Or do you have any stories like that where anyone's come up to you at a show and just said, wow, about a song?
Well, you know, I think it's a couple of the interesting ones. One is, I've been amazed at how many soldiers and their wives send me emails, you know, that, you know, while they're in Iraq serving or overseas somewhere, you know, one of the songs that's really kind of the thing that's gotten them through it or is getting them through it, and that's always extremely touching. And the other thing that I thought was a really good lesson for me in songwriting and what it can do is, or sort of how you have to be careful about labeling your own stuff too much, because there was a song back in the day that I had that was about verbal abuse, and it was called Sticks and Stones, and I'll never forget this guy emailed me about the song, and he said, man, I'd love to get the lyrics for it. It reminds me so much of my grandmother, and I miss her. When I listen to it, it just makes me think of her, and I thought, why in the world would that remind you of your grandmother? But I think, you just don't know. I don't know if maybe she always said Sticks and Stones, whatever, you know. But it's just so, you know, I thought that was really interesting, because I was like, man, that's not why I wrote it, but to hear that comforts this guy. You know, so you just never know. It's really interesting.
Absolutely. Over the course of your career, especially the last couple of years, you know, you've gotten props from a lot of big people in music. I mean, just looking at a couple of the pages on the internet about you, Amy Grant loves your stuff, Vince Gill, John Mayer. I mean, how does that make you feel about the direction your career is going in?
Well, I think that's the biggest, to me, you know, that's always been the biggest affirmation, is when people that inspire you are, you know, are sort of that cyclical, you inspire them. To me, man, that's like, that is the best feeling in the world. I mean, some people, that doesn't affect as much, but for me, that's always been like, that is the coolest thing, you know, to think that someone that, that I listen to and really dig feels the same, you know.
Absolutely. As far as the transgression you've made from your first album to this album, like the changes that you've made in your sound and how much you've developed and things like that, what do you think has actually transpired? How do you think you've grown as a musician over the last 5-6 years?
I think I've gotten more confident in what I do. You know, I think anytime you do something a lot, you know, obviously over time you get more confident in your ability to do that thing. So I think that's been one thing. You know, with this record especially, I really wanted to write a record, which I've never done, that was a lot more pop-oriented. Just really in the sense of the song structure and what I was trying to achieve with the song. So this record, I really wanted to have something that was more catchy, that the listener isn't having to fight so hard to remember things. It's not too heady. And so with this record in particular, you know, when I sat down, I really tried to employ the part of the craft that's like, okay, how do you write things that are still, that have integrity to what I'm trying to achieve, but also are fun, you know, catchy in a live show. If nobody has heard this song before, by the end of the song, hopefully they're singing along, you know? So this record was different. It really was, after writing the records I've done before, it was probably the most fun and sort of the most, it's the most work I've ever done on a record for sure. I mean, really trying to kind of hone in on that and, like, you know, really, 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 like, get after it, you know, as opposed to, like, oh, that's really cool, the end, you know, like, okay, is this the best chorus? Is this the best melody? Is this the best lyric, you know?
Okay, as far as everything else goes, you're touring right now, and I mean, you've done a ton of touring since 2002. What is that process like on a musician? Just the constant touring and just, you know, trying to get your music out. I mean, you were on an independent label for some time, and now I'm pretty sure you're on Razor and Tie, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, that's a pretty decent label, to say the very least. So, I mean, that whole process to go from indie touring and now to have a major record label backing you and touring, what's that all been like for you?
It's been awesome. I mean, it feels like a natural progression, which I really like. Like, it's not too much of a jump from being unsigned to, like, a humongous label that's, you know, cranking out tons of acts. So to me, it's always felt great. I feel like I'm a priority there, which I really enjoy. Touring, you know, we're hoping and you know, in a lot of these markets, seeing more people at each show. And so it all feels really healthy and natural, as opposed to too much of a huge splash and then, you know, and then a quick disappearance also, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But really trying to get, you know, get a real steady, significant growth, you know.